Act of 1980, and the Superfunds Amendments and Reauthorization Act of 1986. And Mr. Speaker, this bill purports to speak about crude oil as it relates to this particular act. Mr. Speaker, perhaps members of the Resources Committee could tell me, since that particular act they refer to says, pollutants or contaminants shall not include petroleum, including crude oil, or any fraction thereof which is not otherwise specifically listed or designated as a hazardous substance under paragraph A through F of paragraphs 14, and shall not include natural gas, liquefied natural gas, or synthetic gas of pipeline quality, or mixtures of natural gas and such synthetic gases. Now, that is in the U.S. Code, Congressional and Administrative News, 99th Congress, 2nd Section, 1986. And that's the law that's referenced in this bill. And then if we would go all the way back to the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act again, all the way back to 1980, we find in this law that it says, the terms does not include petroleum, including crude oil or any fraction thereof, which is not otherwise specifically listed or designated as a hazardous substance under subparagraph A through F of this paragraph, and does not include natural gas liquids, etc., etc., etc. And then we have a supplement to that. And under the supplement, says the term hazardous substance means A, any substance designated pursuant to section 1321B2A of Title 33B, any element, compound, mixture, solution, or substance designated pursuant to section 9602 of this title, any hazardous waste having the characteristic identified or listed pursuant to section 3001 of the Solid Waste Disposal Act, but not including any waste, the regulation of which under the Solid Waste Disposal Act of 42 U.S.C. 6901 Esquire has been suspended by Act of Congress, any toxic pollutions under Section 1317A of Title 33. Well, anyway, it goes on, and then it says, the term does not include petroleum, including crude oil or any fraction thereof, which is not otherwise specifically listed are designated as a hazardous substance under paragraph A through F of this paragraph, and then it goes on about natural gas. In other words, Mr. Speaker, the question that I'm asking as it relates to the law that is quoted in this particular section, the Liability Act of 1980 and the Superfund Amendments and the Reauthorization Act of 1986, does not apply to crude oil. So I wondered if co-chair of the Resources Committee, that's number one, could tell me why that's in this bill.
Perhaps an advisor, is that all you had?
No, it's not. I'll keep going. I just want to answer the question. But I'm not going
to
get an answer then.
No, I'm sure you'll get an answer, but I'm going to try to let everybody speak once. And.
Oh, I see. Well, then, Mr. Speaker, I'd also direct your attention in the statutes to the Alaska statutes, page 499, under the definition in the Comprehensive Environmental Response Liability Compensation Act of 1980. In our very own statutes, it says, under section 4609-900, hazardous substance means, and then it goes on through a lot of other stuff, and under B, it says the substance defined as hazardous substance under 42 U.S.C. of 9601-9657, Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act of 1980, hazardous substance does not include uncontaminated crude oil or uncontaminated refined oil. Now, that's it. I'm going to direct, Mr. Speaker, your attention in this bill to, on the front section, line 12, the word pristine. I'm down on page 1, line 28, and it's the words, "and reserved primarily," and speak to you about how that is defined in Webster's Dictionary. Mr. Speaker, I submit that if you consider the definitions of the words "reserved primarily" in conjunction with the language in 16-2500, that's the section I quoted to you yesterday under the critical habitat section, which says the purpose of this statute is to protect and preserve habitat areas crucial to the perpetuation of fish and wildlife, and to restrict all other uses not compatible with that primary purpose. I believe that if this legislation is passed, the potential exists to literally close the Prince William Sound and outer Kenai Peninsula coastal areas to all or almost all commercial activities. Mr. Speaker, if you go on and look at the definitions of these words, I think that you will begin to see what I'm talking about. On page 1, line 28 of this bill states that the area will be preserved primarily for protection, rehabilitation, restoration, and study of fish, wildlife, aquatic plants, population, habitat, and the natural environment. Mr. Speaker, Webster says, "to save for future use or a special purpose, to set aside for a particular person or use, to keep for oneself, to retain, to defeat, to put off." Mr. Speaker, the definition of primarily from Webster's is defined in the first place for the most part. I would now like to read you the definition of the word crucial and the word restrict. Crucial is defined as critical, decisive, difficult, severe. Restrict is defined as to hold within limits, to confine. The definition of one other word contained in 16-2500 is important to consider in this context. That word is compatible. Compatible is defined as capable of living or functioning harmoniously with others. Mr. Speaker, the point I'm making is that, first of all, we're quoting an act here in this statute that does not really relate to crude oil. And secondly, if you look at the words that are in this bill, and you look to the fact that you are designating Prince William Sound Biological Recovery Area and reserved primarily for the protection, rehabilitation, restoration, and study of fish, wildlife, aquatic plants, population, habitat, and other natural environments, and recognize that we're quoting from our own statutes in 16-2500, and know that that then is, in fact, a critical habitat, we can very clearly see what is happening with this bill. This bill, for all practical purposes, Mr. Speaker, for 10 years can lock up Prince William Sound to anything except study. Study and enhancement of the wildlife through the recovery process. Mr. Speaker, I have a great deal of concern about that. The reason why I do is that we have not only oil shipment that our state's budget and our state's economy is very dependent upon, but Mr. Speaker, we also have within the Prince William Sound area and the outer Kenai Peninsula, we have tourism and tour boats. We have fishing and many other activities that would not fit under the titles and definitions within this bill. Mr. Speaker, I would urge defeat of this bill because I do not believe that it is in the best interest of the people of this state, nor are the people that live and reside in Prince William Sound and the outer Kenai Peninsula.
Further discussion, Mr. Prime Sponsor Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess that was a question. And I guess I'll answer the last part of the question first as regards to the concerns that the area would be closed down to tanker traffic or tourist boats or whatever. I guess the answer to that is poppycock. The rest of the question, the facts are that CERCLA has been invoked, and Commissioner Collingsworth of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has been designated as the state trustee.
Mr. Furness?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I may speak on this legislation. Mr. Speaker, I've given a great deal of thought to this legislation, particularly in light of it, the rapid nature by which it has come to this floor. I believe it's been only 4 or 5 days from introduction to debate at this time. Mr. Speaker, I've had a chance to talk to representatives out of DNR, and we've been informed from them that this legislation is not supported by DNR. It's not supported by Fish and Game, nor is it supported by the governor. In fact, Mr. Speaker, during the committee hearing, we did have direct testimony by teleconference from a responsible representative from DNR who stated the opposition to this legislation. Mr. Speaker, the ultimate effect of this legislation is to close down any commercial activity in the Prince William Sound area. It not only closed the activity in the area that has been affected by the spill, but it also affects those small businesses within the Sound that are not affected. Mr. Speaker, if we want to limit the commercial activity, then a right vote on this bill is a yes vote. Well, let me tell you what will happen. Again, these are not my words. These are words coming out from responsible personnel from the Department of Natural Resources. The first thing that it will affect is the expansion of the Whittier Dock. Now, over years, we have spent quite a bit of money in expansion of the docks in Whittier. As I recall, several millions of dollars went into repairing and building a new dock so as to accommodate the ferries. Mr. Speaker, by passing this legislation, we will affect the conveyance of tide lands to the city of Valdez. By passing this legislation, Mr. Speaker, we would affect 10 pending set net applications. Again, these are not my words, Mr. Speaker. These are words coming out of the Department of Natural Resources. I concur with my colleague from District 14, Mr. Speaker. It would also affect the current tourism that's taking place within the Sound, to include the Glacier Bay day cruise and many others. Mr. Speaker, I believe that there are responsible ways that we may be able to address protection of the Sound. And for once, I'm very pleased to see that the third floor has taken some decisive action. First of all, through an emergency order, the third floor has designated, has reaffirmed the responsibility and the commitment of the Commissioner of Natural Resources and given that commissioner additional charges by which to protect the Sound. And I think in deference to what's happening, Mr. Speaker, we ought to for once give some credence to the responsibility of the third floor and defeat this legislation. Now, Mr. Speaker, I spoke a minute ago about the rapidity by which this legislation has been handled. While I know that there are some who are concerned with what has happened over the last few days, those concerns should not override the ability of affected parties to be able to come to the table and voice their concerns. It's my understanding, again, from DNR that there are two major landowners who, for whatever reason, did not have an opportunity to appear before the Resource Committee. The first one, Mr. Speaker, is the U.S. Forest Service. They were not either invited or did not have an opportunity to appear. Mr. Speaker, in no way should we prevent a major landowner from being able to appear and speak on a bill that would virtually lock up their ability to operate. The other, Mr. Speaker, and perhaps more important, because it is a community-based organization, is the Chugach Native Corporation. Although they frequently traveled to Juneau, it's my understanding they were not aware nor had an opportunity to address this legislation in committee. Mr. Speaker, in closing, let me share here. I think we all appreciate the concern. We're all concerned. But that concern should not override good judgment. And the judgment says here that by passage of this legislation, we lock up the Sound. We prevent commercial activity from taking place in the Sound. I say that that's not right. It is certainly not right. Mr. Speaker, the third floor, the governor principally, has administrative responsibility for carrying out the order of this legislature. We have given the governor the authority by appointing and recognizing the Department of Natural Resources as a lead agency in dealing with these kinds of concerns. To switch that at this point to the Department of Fish and Game has no logic. I appeal to this body to let Department of Natural Resources do its job. Let's follow the governor's lead under his emergency order. Let's preserve the commercial activity in Prince William Sound. But last but not least, let's defeat this legislation today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the previous speaker was right on one point, and that point is that there was a turf battle presented to the Resources Committee, and there was some testimony from DNR in opposition of relinquishing jurisdiction to Fish and Game. But the fact to say that those permits would be shut off or totally closed was, like I mentioned the other day when we had this up, it was a possibility. It certainly was not a definite statement that that would happen from the person that was representing DNR. And to say that all commercial activity in the affected area would stop is just certainly not true. There are other areas that there are many things that would go on. And to say that our Alaskan economy, because we are supported by oil and the majority of our revenue is coming down, to say that that shipping would be stopped in there is certainly a statement that cannot hold water. I think the stress of this legislation is to address the fact that we have had a catastrophic accident in that area, and that we need a body that has control of the scientific knowledge and the ability to go ahead and assimilate those facts and move forward in that area with scientific basis, not the thoughts of what it should be or what it could be, but basing it back on data that is reliable, can be scientifically stated and categorized for a period of time, because we are looking at this in this legislation to go for 10 years. The fact that the uplands and the effect on the uplands that logging would be stopped if there is in the area, and the effect that the Chugach Corporation that will be doing logging, they're putting a mill in Seward, and the effects of extracting that resource off the islands where they do have land would not be affected. I think that it is a responsible piece of legislation. It would allow that area to be assessed and the ability to go forward on a logical basis, I think is very responsible. And I urge the body's support on this legislation.
Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just wonder, I had a question to the prime sponsor. I'm wondering, a whole bunch of things bother me about this piece of legislation, but one thing that bothers me is that the representative from Valdez is, I want a question answered, and I'd like to know if this person or those people, senators, et cetera, originated or helped draft this piece of legislation, or at least conceptually come up with the idea. I wonder about that. And then to the one that's been the person that's been carrying this on the floor, I would like to know. I read in the papers where the oil was moving down towards Kodiak, and I was wondering why Kodiak isn't included in this also. And I ask that because I may offer an amendment to include Kodiak into there.
Mr. Gall? Mr. Speaker, the bill has gone through various committees, and I guess its history is easy to document. But with regard to the last comments, I think what's happening is that we're kind of getting away from really the reality of the bill. Right, maybe from the first comments, the bill is not going to stop development, and it's not going to lock up the area. It's going to transfer management of the recovery effort to the Department of Fish and Game, who are already involved, and I'm sure can do a real good job with it. And if there is a turf battle, if you will, between Fish and Game and DNR, I don't know that really need concern us. If DNR is a good steward of our lands and waters, I'm sure their record speaks for itself. And if Fish and Game is good at this kind of a role, I'm sure their record speaks for itself. And I think members can make a quality decision, and I'd urge a vote to pass this bill.
Senator Kopanen?
Thank you. I've been listening to the debate for quite some time, and I think that some people haven't read the papers and don't realize that under the Federal Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation Liability Act of 1980, CERCLA, that Prince William Sound has been taken over, the management of the spill has been taken over by four trustees who have ultimate authority under federal law. Three of those trustees are federal appointees. One is a state appointee. That one state appointee, appointed by the governor, is the commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. If we set up a pulling and hauling between DNR and Fish and Game, we are weakening our voice in the management of the cleanup and the spill and the recovery of Prince William Sound. The same person who serves on the Board of Trustees should also have authority within state law to manage that. And therefore, I urge that you vote the 320.
Question.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to bring it to the body's attention. I think the representative from Haines suggested or mentioned that this has been through various committees. The only reference that I can find is that it was introduced by Resources, referred to Resources, introduced on the 27th of April, and came to the floor the 5th of May. That seems like a very brief bill history.
Mr. Jory Lear. Stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I call the House on the bill and all remaining action.
No, it's not. Let's just go ahead and just sit down and wait till everybody gets here and just finish our job tonight. We'll stand at ease if you're. The House, please come back to order. I'm going to lift the call. Call's been lifted. You ready for the question? Mr. Taylor?
Mr. Speaker, when this oil spill first came up, we watched what happened when we had too many cooks in the kitchen. They were spoiling the stew. We couldn't get an answer out of anybody. Nobody seemed able to give direction. Part of the lack of response was a lack of organization, not only on their part, but ours. We had the Coast Guard saying one thing, Exxon saying another. What we're doing right now is that our governor, who strangely enough is minority leader, I'm standing here supporting and defending on his choices because I think he's made a good choice. He's let that choice be known in an executive order, and I support him in that executive order. Now why I'm the one defending him here, I'm not sure, but the mandate that is contained within this legislation on the second page changes the manner in which our commissioner of Fish and Game would interpret the authority that we've given him, in that we demand that the commissioner shall. And when we tell a commissioner that they shall do something, that is not discretionary anymore with that commissioner. He is under orders from us. Now what happens then is the commissioner shall manage the area pursuant to 16-2500. 16-2500 is critical habitat. We then look to see, well, what happens in a critical habitat area? And we've got a case right on point out of the Alaska Supreme Court, where our Kenai fishermen brought a lawsuit, and the court responded. And it said that the most logical reading of the statute indicated that the commissioner had to do certain things. Now, I have a lot of faith in my commissioner of Fish and Game. Know him well, and I have a lot of faith in that man. He's done a great job in many ways for us. And I think that, as the representative from Kodiak clearly indicated, he'd probably do a fine job here, too. And thus, I applaud the governor's choice in making him one of the trustees. I think the governor did a good job there. But the governor has also said that the Department of Natural Resources shall make decisions in this area about permits. That's the body that normally makes permit decisions. And they're set up to do that. Now, why we should confuse this by inserting our authority and our will at this time, I don't know. The triumvirate didn't work very good, and we had to get rid of that. Why should we as a legislature at the 11th hour now, late in the evening, as we're trying to close up the session, say, Governor, you're wrong. We need to insert our wisdom and tell you who to put in here and tell that person what they should do. Well, I have faith in the commissioner that he'd do the right thing. But let me explain to you, Mr. Chairman, what I believe will happen here. With passage of this legislation, we mandate the commissioner shall act in the following fashion. He goes out, and in a reasonable way, he tries to interpret this law. And he says to that new sawmill trying to start up there, and that logging operation, it's okay to go forward. You've done everything you need to do, and I find that it's okay for you to do that. Any group in the area that may not like that decision can immediately file suit, and they've got a case on point that says the commissioner shall manage this as a critical habitat area, and that we believe that this is having some detrimental effect upon the fisheries resource or other biological resource up there. Bang, those people are right in the middle of a lawsuit, and what's their authority for it? Our bill out of this house telling them that everything should be shut down up there, and ordering the commissioner to only use one interpretation. Even though he wants to be a reasonable guy, he can only use one interpretation: to protect and preserve habitat areas, especially critical to the perpetuation of fish and wildlife, and to restrict all other uses not compatible with the primary purpose. And in the Kenai case, the Supreme Court said, Commissioner, you have to look to the primary purpose. Such an interpretation, I think, is very logical at this point and very likely to occur. That's why I have to oppose this legislation. It goes too far, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Davidson, prime sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge support of House Bill 320. House Bill 320 is a straightforward request to allow the Commissioner of Fish and Game to focus on and direct the efforts to move forward with the biological recovery of Prince William Sound. This bill is an attempt to expedite and target on the biological rebuilding of one of our state's most pristine, most productive renewable resource areas. This legislation does not create a new tangle of bureaucratic hoops. House Bill 320 cuts through the tangle of interagency jurisdictions to streamline authority for the Commissioner of Fish and Game to do best what our statutes require him to do: manage, plan, protect, and rebuild the biological resources of Prince William Sound in the aftermath of the incident at Bly Reef. House Bill 320 is not an attempt to undermine the authority of one agency at the expense of another. House Bill 320 merely creates a new management area under existing law. Mr. Speaker, under House Bill 320, the Department of Natural Resources manages the land within this region just as they now manage state land throughout Alaska. House Bill 320 is similar to a number of other pieces of legislation passed by this body over the past several years. Mr. Speaker, let me emphasize, House Bill 320 does not create new law. House Bill 320 creates a new area under existing law. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is the agency most appropriate and best suited to restore the damaged ecosystem of Prince William Sound. Biological recovery is the foundation upon which economic recovery will be built. Within this biological recovery area, restoration, rehabilitation, and recovery of the fish and wildlife and aquatic plant resources will be given primary consideration. The Department of Fish and Game will be given additional direction to regulate the uses and activities that might affect the biological recovery from this tragic event. I believe that the Department of Fish and Game is the agency most appropriate and best suited to restore this damaged ecosystem to health. Restoration of the fisheries and biological recovery is the foundation upon which that economic recovery will be built. Mr. Speaker, long after the cleanup crews have gone home, long after the TV crews and the reporters have packed up and gone off after the next headline, the work of making Prince William Sound biologically whole will remain. A slow, deliberate, almost experimental tenacity will be required. Mr. Speaker, I believe that this legislation will give the Department of Fish and Game the proper direction and the necessary authority to see that Prince William Sound is restored and productive in the shortest possible time. And finally, Mr. Speaker, I would like to point out that this legislation will sunset on March 24th, 1999. That's 10 years to the day that after the tragic oil spill off Bly Reef. Mr. Speaker, it is my hope that on that day, all Alaskans will be able to celebrate the full and complete recovery of the Prince William Sound region. I firmly believe that this legislation will provide the necessary tools and the symbolic commitment to make that day a reality. Mr. Speaker, a vote for House Bill 320 is a vote for the biological recovery of Prince William Sound. Thank you.
Mr. Furness, you've already had the floor on this subject.
No,
Mr. Finkelstein has the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hate to take up the body's time this late hour, but I feel I must say at least something. I spent a lot of my adult life in Prince William Sound. I owned a boat for 6 years that I kept in the Sound. I've probably been to 100 different bays in the western half of Prince William Sound, and as of today, and who knows what it'll be tomorrow, probably all but 10 of those bays have been destroyed. The arguments that are being given here against this legislation are just transparently weak. The idea that we're going to close down the construction of the boat harbor at Whittier, that we're going to stop the tanker traffic, that we're going to stop the tour ships, they're absurd. There's no basis for them whatsoever. We will see if we pass this legislation, it's enacted, that was sort of a paranoid fear on someone's part. Obviously, it isn't going to occur. The argument, why should we have this bill in the first place? Well, I'd recommend anyone who has a doubt, open up the front page story in today's morning paper and look at it. The biological challenge in a full-page spread that faces Prince William Sound is overwhelming. There's going to be a battle with nature and with ourselves to try to overcome this tragedy, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to require the full power we can give to Fish and Game to do that. And the final argument I've heard in this debate is we shouldn't pass this bill because the debate is very late in the session and there hasn't been very many committee hearings. Well, I'm sorry that the tanker ran on the rocks towards the end of the session. I'm sorry that the approach that's now being taken that's put into a trusteeship, the fish and game, occurred so late in the session. I wish it didn't happen that way, but it did, and that's got to be the weakest excuse of all. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, I would just like to share one bit of information that has not been discussed on this floor. It was mentioned that the Commission of Fish and Game has been appointed as trustee. That is correct, Mr. Speaker. He is working in connection, in conjunction with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and U.S. Department of Commerce. Mr. Speaker, during the resource hearing several days ago, the commissioner laid out a series of activities that he will be undertaking as a trustee on the circular. He indicated, Mr. Speaker, that he would be needing some $10 to $15 million in order to carry out certain assessments. And it's also my understanding, Mr. Speaker, that one of the rationales for not having the Commission of Fish and Game as the lead personnel in this instance is because of all the kinds of things that he will be obligated to do under the assessment and his duties as a trustee under circular. Let me just share one last point, Mr. Speaker. In the emergency order, the governor says that any action take place must be authorized personally by the Commissioner of Natural Resources following consultation with the Commissioner of Fish and Game and Environmental Conservation. But it appears here the governor has taken those things into consideration. Surely the Commissioner of Fish and Game has a responsibility, and surely he will be able to carry that out. But the governor said, let the Commission of Natural Resources be the lead person. Let him be the one that authorized this. And he is to do it in concert, in consultation with Fish and Game and Environmental Conservation. So I believe the member from Kodiak, his concerns are well taken care of. The governor has indeed stepped forth with the leadership in order to take care of the problem. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. It shall be a substitute for House Bill 320, Resources, pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk take the roll.
18 yeas, 18 nays.
House Bill 320 has failed. Mr. Davidson?
Consideration of my vote on House Bill 320.
House Bill notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 320. Mr. Majority, there was a letter of intent on House Bill number 154. Stand at ease for a moment. Please come back to order.
I can't hear you.
Right. Clerk, read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 26 by Fakes, Fahrenkamp, Coghill, Halford, Euling, Jones, Sturgeluski, and Pierce, urging adoption of a national energy strategy. The Resources Committee has considered a resolution and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Resources Committee with the same title and due pass. Signing due pass, Davidson, Menard, Hudson, Sharp, Burness, Navarre, and Jackal. I have, one House Committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent that the House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 26 be considered to move the original bill.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Resource Committee substitute has been adopted. Does the clerk have other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm moving to ask unanimous consent that the House Resources Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 26 be considered in gross advance third reading and placed on final pass.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection to the resolutions in third reading, would the clerk read the resolution for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 26, Resources, by the Resources Committee, urging adoption of a national energy strategy.
Is there discussion? Ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall House Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 26, resources, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk take the roll.
35 yeas, no nays.
Senate Joint Resolution number 26 has passed the House. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Joint Resolution number 35 by Jones, Jarrah, Sturgiluski, Halford, Kelly, Fisher, Duncan, Coghill, Adams, Fakes, Eliason, and Frank, requesting the Veterans Administration and the Department of Defense to consider the importance of community health care for veterans. The House Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. Signing do pass, Gall, Ellis, Boyer, Jacko, C. Davis, and Grunberg. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent Senate Joint Resolution 35 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the resolution is in third reading. Is there... Would the clerk read the resolution for the third time?
Senate Joint Resolution number 35 by Jones, Jarrah, Sturgiluski et al., requesting the Veterans Administration and the Department of Defense to consider the importance of community health care for veterans.
So discussion? Ready for the question? The question for the House is, shall Senate Joint Resolution number 35 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
SJR 35 has passed the House. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Joint Resolution number 40 amended by Adams, Sturgiluski, and Euling, relating to a proposal by the National Park Service to hire Native and other qualified college students in the state as employees under a cooperative education program and to offer the students career positions upon graduation. I have no amendments. Oh, wait a minute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we have a brief at ease?
Stand at ease. Yeah. The clerk will read the committee report, please.
The Resources Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it do pass. Signing do pass, Menard, Davidson, Jacko, M. Davis, Hudson, Sharp, Furness, Foster, and Navarre. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 40 amended be considered in gross advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the resolution is in third reading. Would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
Senate Joint Resolution number 40 amended by Adams, Sturgiluski, and Euling, relating to a proposal by the National Park Service to hire Native and other qualified college students in the state as employees under a cooperative education program and to offer the students career positions upon graduation.
Ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall Senate Joint Resolution number 40 amended pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does anybody wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
SJR 40 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are 13 citations on today's calendar. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that citations be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved. The clerk read the next item on today's. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's also one citation that's been passed out. Move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring the Cooperative Extension Service in the state of Alaska be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing no objections, ordered. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the citation be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the citation is approved. Clerk, read the next item on today's calendar.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 37, Transportation by the Transportation Amended House. By the Transportation Committee, an act designating certain highway facilities as memorials to Alaska veterans and naming certain highway facilities. We are in second reading, Mr. Speaker, and I do have a proposed amendment on my desk.
How many do you have?
Just one, amendment number 4.
Mr. Zawacki? Or would your clerk read the fourth amendment?
Amendment number 4 by Zawacki, and it starts on page 1, line 30 through 33. and it's on each member's desk.
Mr. Zawacki.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 4.
The other four, Mr. Zawacki.
Mr. Speaker, if I may speak on the amendment. The amendment states to add Clint Starnes Memorial Bridge, the bridge over the Swanson River in the Captain Cook Park area, is named the Clint Starnes Memorial Bridge. There originally was going to be companion bills on this. There is a bill over on the Senate side. I talked to the, if you allow me a little leeway, I did talk to the prime sponsors, and they had no objections at all. To give you a little insight of the support there, and that this was not rash, when it first was presented to us, my two senators and myself, we insisted that they bring us proof of widespread support. They have petitions signed by over 400 people within the Nikiski area. The Nikiski Chamber of Commerce and also the Nikiski Community Council have all supported and endorsed it. So there is widespread support throughout the Nikiski area. And as I said, I have no objections from the prime sponsors from the other house. So at this time, I request approval of amendment number 4.
Further objection? Mr. Martin?
Mr. Speaker, I hate to show my ignorance, but who in the world is Clint Starnes?
Mr. Zawacki?
My apologies. Clint Starnes was a young man that unfortunately was killed in a plane crash just a couple years ago in the Kenai area. Highly respected again throughout the community, and this is something that the community and the legislators thought would be a tribute to the young man.
Is there objection to the amendment? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, amendment number 4 has been adopted. Does the clerk have additional amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent that Transportation Committee substitute.
Oh.
Transportation Committee substitute. Wrong.
Advancement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Moving to ask unanimous consent that the House Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Bill 37 amended be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection to the bills in third reading, would the clerk read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 37, Transportation amended House by the Transportation Committee. An act designating certain highway facilities as memorials to Alaska veterans and naming certain highway facilities.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Mr. Boucher?
I know the hour is late. I personally knew Bob Mitchell. Am I in order to address?
Yes, sir.
The bill?
Bill's in front of you.
And I could say, well, Bob, it's kind of late. I'm not going to comment on this. But I think he would comment because Bob, this wasn't just an ordinary Alaskan. It was a guy who did an awful lot. In fact, there's some young men in both of these houses that can directly attribute some of the early shaping of their attitudes towards Alaska. There's been strong feelings in the Fairbanks community about it, mostly amongst the old-timers. But just a moment about Robert J. Mitchell, who was born on February 27, 1980. He's a lifelong Alaskan. He was born in Fairbanks in 1918. There's a lot more that could be said about him, but what are the most important single things about him? His excellent personality and sense of humor were catching, and as a result, he was highly respected by all those who knew him in all walks of life. And those who came in contact with him were that much better off because of their association. Mitch's philosophy of life can be summarized to a degree by the following thoughts. There is far more time and money lost by indecision than by wrong decision, and his success proved that point. 2, no matter how difficult or adverse a problem, treat it as an opportunity. And finally, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I know where he is now, but this is just moment of remembering our history, and I think this is a fine piece of legislation, and I know there'll be unanimous support for it, as he richly deserves. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? Question before the House is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 37, Transportation, amended House, pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 37 is passed the House. Mr. Grunberg?
I give notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 37.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. Representative Wallace?
Yes, I serve notice of reconsideration on SJR 26.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. SJR 26. Brings us to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business come before the House? Are there announcements? Mr. Majority Leader, I think we have some more messages from the Senate.
Yes, we do, Mr. Speaker.
We're under announcements. Are there announcements? Are there announcements? I need a motion to go back up to messages from the other body.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is a letter of intent to committee substitute for House Bill 154, Finance. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance letter of intent to committee substitute for House Bill 154, Finance, second, be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the letter of intent has been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll announce for the members that the session will be at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and move and ask unanimous consent that we go back up the calendar to messages from the Senate.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection. I don't think we intend to do any more business other than to receive messages and refer bills at this time. Would the clerk... Are there messages from the other House?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. The Senate passed committee substitute for Senate Bill 241, Resources, an act authorizing the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs to accept land conveyed by a state or federal agency and to receive land from dissolved municipalities and requiring the transfer of certain land to the Commissioner of Natural Resources and providing for an effective date, and it is transmitted for consideration. Hmm? Do you have the referral?
Which one was it? Not at ease, but if people want to leave, go ahead. We'll just wait until people leave.
Included in the Senate amendment to committee substitute for 68 Judiciary amended, thus passing Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 68 Judiciary, an act relating to liability for the release or threatened release of a hazardous substance, recovery of state costs for an oil or hazardous substance release, liability of response action contractors, and providing for an effective date. The Senate passed committee substitute for House Bill 68 Judiciary amended with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 68 Judiciary, an act relating to liability for the release or threatened release of a hazardous substance, recovery of state costs for an oil or hazardous substance release, liability of response action contractors, and providing for an effective date, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate passed committee substitute for House Bill 91 Judiciary with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 91 State Affairs, an act relating to protection for certain public employees and certain other persons who report or participate in a proceeding connected with a matter of public concern, and it is returned for consideration. The Senate passed committee substitute for House Bill 148 Judiciary with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 148 Judiciary, an act making corrective amendments to the Alaska statutes as recommended by the reviser of statutes and providing for an effective date. Sectional analysis in Senate House Joint Journal Supplement number 10 was published 5-5, and it is returned for consideration. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other communications?
I have no further communications, Mr.
Reports Speaker. To standing committees. Thank you.
The Transportation Committee has considered House Resolution 8, 1989 Rural Transportation Equity Act, and recommends it do pass and attach the zero physical note. The report was signed by Cato Chairman, signing do pass Hudson, Foster, and Cato. Lehman has no recommendation. House Resolution Number 8 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 13, Constitutional Amendment, Education Endowment, recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute with a new title and due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Swackhammer Vice Chair, signing due pass, Swackhammer, Copen, and Ulmer and Schultz. Signing do not pass, Barnes, having no recommendation, Brown, Phillips, and Wallace. House Joint Resolution Number 13 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 190, Appropriation Forward Funding for Education Account, recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute with a new title and due pass. Report was signed by Swackhammer Vice Chair, signing due pass, Swackhammer, Barnes, Schultz, Copen, and Ulmer and Brown. Having no recommendation, Phillips and Wallace. House Bill 190 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 311, Revenue Bonds, Portage to Whittier Road, and recommends as follows. The report was signed by Larson and Hoffman, co-chair, signing due pass, Larson, Swackhammer, and Barnes. Having no recommendation, Hoffman, Brown, Copen, and Ulmer, Schultz, Rieger, and Wallace. House Bill 311 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 28, Finance Amended. Housing Finance Task Force recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Finance Committee and due pass and attaches a fiscal note. Report was signed by Larson and Hoffman, co-chairs. Signing due pass, Hoffman, Swackhammer, Brown, Ulmer, Barnes, Schultz, Rieger, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Larson and Copen. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 28 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 25, Resurrection Creek Road Upgrade, recommends it do pass. Report was signed by the co-chairs Larson and Hoffman. Signing due pass, Wallace, Hoffman, Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Copen, and Ulmer, Barnes, Schultz, Phillips, and Rieger. Senate Joint Resolution Number 25 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Senate Concurrent Resolution 27, State Housing Policy, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Hoffman and Larson, co-chairs, concurring, Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Copen, and Ulmer, Barnes, Schultz, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Hoffman, Phillips, and Rieger. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 27 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 30, Resources, Coordinated Research, Oil Spill Technology, and recommends as follows. Report was signed by Menard Chairman, signing due pass, Menard, Davidson, and Jackal. Having no recommendation, Hudson, Sharp, and Foster. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 30 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 93, Finance, Workers' Comp for Militia Members, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Larson and Hoffman, co-chairs, signing do pass, Larson, Swackhammer, Barnes, Schultz, Rieger, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Hoffman, Brown, Copen, and Ulmer, and Phillips. Senate Bill 93 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill 144, Relocation Assistance, Federal Assisted Projects, and recommends as follows. The report was signed by Larson and Hoffman, signing do pass, Larson, Schultz, Rieger, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Hoffman, Swackhammer, Brown, Copen, and Ulmer, Barnes, and Phillips. Senate Bill 144 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 175, Finance, Warning Signs on Liquor Premises, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Judiciary Committee with the same title and due pass, and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Larson and Hoffman, co-chairs, concurring, Hoffman, Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Copen, and Ulmer, Barnes, Phillips, Rieger, and Wallace. Schultz has no recommendation. Senate Bill 175 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 191, Finance, Employment Assistance and Training, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairs Larson and Hoffman. Signing do pass, Hoffman, Larson, Brown, Copen, and Ulmer, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Swackhammer, Barnes, Phillips, Schultz, and Rieger. Senate Bill 191 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 264, Finance, Oil Hazardous Substance Response Corps, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Finance Committee with the same title. It's reported back as follows. Report was signed by Larson and Hoffman, signing due pass, Swackhammer, Brown, Copen, and Ulmer, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Hoffman, Larson, Barnes, Schultz, and Phillips. Senate Bill 264 has no further referral. The Finance Committee considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 277, Finance, Valdez Disaster Investigative Commission, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Finance Committee with the same title and due pass,
and adopts the House Finance Letter of Intent. The report was signed by Vice Chair Swackhammer, signing Dupass, Swackhammer, Copen, and Ulmer, Barnes, Schultz, and Phillips. Senate Bill 277 has no further referral. The Transportation Committee has considered Senate Bill 287, Chief Eddie Hoffman Road, Bethel, recommends it be passed. The report was signed by Cato, Chairman, concurring, Foster, Hudson, Lehman, and Cato. Senate Bill 287 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, citation, and resolutions?
Citation, honoring the Frontiersman newspaper. Citation honoring State Bowl winners and finalists, 1985. That, I think that was taken up as a special order, was it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. State Bowl winners and finalists, 1989 Future Problem Solving Bowl. Honoring KTOO, FM, and TV. In memoriam, Elmer Carl Straub. House Resolution Number 11 by Navarre, relating to emergency measures for fishery enhancement and rehabilitation.
If I refer it to rules, does it have to have a hearing then?
They don't even have to come out with a hearing.
Right. Okay, Rules Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference bills.
House Bill 352 by Hanley, an act establishing a program for the investigation and prosecution of health care providers who violate laws in connection with the state medical assistance program, requiring the Department of Law to establish procedures for review of complaints of patient abuse or neglect in health facilities that receive payments under the state medical assistance program, and authorizing the Commissioner of Public Safety to designate employees of the Department of Law as peace officers for certain purposes.
House and Finance, or House and Judiciary.
House Bill 353 by Boyer and Boucher, an act relating to public accountancy and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Labor and Commerce.
House Bill 354 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to an optional exemption from municipal taxes.
Community Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 355 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to imposition of a uniform insurance premium tax and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Bring today's calendar.
Oh, no.
Is there any unfinished business? Are there announcements? Are there special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
I will be adjourned until 11 a.m.
We're adjourned to 11.